Okay, my name is Sophie. I'm a compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to hopefully share some experience, strength, and hope again. When I was asked, I was really surprised. What it was like. I mean, I do have, food memories that, are relatively old. So when I was a child, food was definitely important. It was also definitely something like in many families. I think it's especially when you have, like I had, an elderly grandmother that grew up in a specific time. She just showed her love through food. And, that was all, it didn't show. I was always very active, did a lot of, sports and stuff. So, we just ate. I did pay attention to food, as I already said, but, that was that. And then I got a bit chubby right before I hit puberty. And I think that's also probably a very classic experience. And I got the comments, especially from my mother, if you are not careful, you're not going to, it was just, it started to be a pain in the ass. And so at one point I just thought, okay, I'll just go on a massive diet. And it was just this extreme diet where I lost a bunch of weight in just a couple of weeks and just barely ate anything. And so that started the real crazy, I would say. Even though I do believe that I was really born with that. And what I mean with that is the disease of restless, irritable, and discontent. And so after this massive diet, I just, got into a very destructive eating pattern. For some days, I just didn't eat anything. And then I went on a binge and then didn't eat anything again for the next day. And so I thought, that's how I can keep the weight off. And at some point, a friend of mine basically introduced me to bulimia, which is almost like a bad joke because I'm someone by nature, I don't puke. I mean, it's really, that's like, I think maybe I have puked before twice in my life. Like, just, that's not, for some reason, that's not how my body reacts. And what I only learned in OA is that the puking part is really an addiction in itself. So I got hooked onto that one and I totally thought, well, this is under control. I do have memories, when the big book talks about crossing this line and that some people were maybe able to stop, but then they did not really want to. I'm not sure when this line would have been because I do remember even my puberty, especially one evening where I really wanted to not do it. And I was so edgy, in other words, restless, irritable, and discontent. And I just gave in. I just, like this fighting. I was in a face-to-face meeting earlier and someone was talking about fighting after relapse. And I just thought, sorry, but I mean, it's not funny. But what I mean is with that is this is not, I can't fight this. If I fight, I lose. I gave in and, of course, I binged and purged. And anyways, when I moved out home from home with 18, it really got bad. And all the therapies, I've been many times inpatient, and I never stopped in the treatment facility. I really, honestly, I never gave them a fair chance because I couldn't be honest. And I couldn't stop. The good thing about one of these treatment centers is that a doctor said to me, "You're going to go to a meeting or I'll kick you out of treatment center." And I'd never heard about OA or AA, in my case also AA. So I went, but I was sitting in the room looking around thinking, I am not as sick as they are. And of course, I was the one in treatment center. Guess who was the sickest? Went there twice as the doctor had asked me to. And then never went again. And that was in 2006. And I was at least twice, I think it was, I was twice again in a treatment center. And then right before the third time I went again to a treatment center, the therapist said to me, "Well, maybe while you're waiting for your place there, maybe you can go to another meeting." And I was fairly desperate. In the end, it really brought me to my knees in a sense of I was so done. I really felt suicidal, and of course it was not working any longer. So there was basically no numbing out, but I had to do it. And for whatever reason, I remember that it was in November 2009. I went to this meeting where I'd never been before. By then I had moved to another town, and so I went there. And they had this meeting format of what we read in the beginning, welcome home, welcome to OA, welcome home. And I listened to what they were sharing, and I just really felt that. I really felt like this is the place for me. And I said to them, "I have to go to this treatment center now, but I will be back, promised." And yeah, since end of 2009, I have been, so to speak, a permanent resident of OA, and I won't ever change that. So this is for life. There's no doubt about that. It took me 1 year to get abstinent. I started to work with a sponsor pretty much right away. In the first place, I didn't have the right sponsor. Then I got the right sponsor. We started to work the steps out of the big book. But I was not willing to, go to any length. There were certain things that she was asking me to do, and I was just like, "No, I'm too busy. I have a new job." And now when I say that, I always have to laugh because, I don't know about anybody else, but when I relapse, it's like half a day is gone. And so to say, "Oh, I'm too busy, I have a new job," is like bad joke. And it got to a point where it was just so painful, and I was like, okay, I've really literally tried everything else that I could think of. Let me just do this last thing that I haven't done that she's been asking me to do, and I did, and surprise, surprise, it worked, and I got abstinent, and that was such a miracle. And especially in the first few months, I almost did not recognize myself. And also people on the outside, when we read in the big book and the spiritual experience that people, like outsiders will tell us that we have changed. I mean, it says it a little bit different, but that's exactly what happened. And I was so happy about that. And fast forward, probably 4.5 years into abstinence. And I don't know why I'm sharing this. Maybe someone has to hear it. I did never think that I was cured. Okay, I was not that arrogant. I still went to meetings, I sponsored people, I had a home group, I did service. And the thing that I did not have a working relationship with a sponsor any longer. My first sponsor had moved back to the States, and I was like, there's no one that I could ask. I mean, this was well before Zoom meetings. In the area, I was just like, nah, no one there. And slowly but surely, I started to restrict and I didn't eat enough. And, I mean, our bodies are smart. What is happening if I don't put enough energy into my body? It's going to ask at some point to get proper food. I mean, proper food. Yeah, it's going to ask for more. And I've relapsed. And it was horrible. After a couple of years without sugar in my system, putting sugar in my system, that was just horrific. And that started a period of, I don't know how many years, very odd. I relapsed and then I got abstinent again for a year and then I relapsed again. And every time, the first relapse lasted for 2 days. Then I was struck abstinent again. The next year, I think it was a couple of weeks, but every time it just got worse and worse and worse. I mean, as they say, it's a progressive disease. I can definitely attest that. And then, again, I had a time of like 3 years. And the last time that I have binged and purged, hopefully, really the last time, was end of 2021. And afterwards, I would say I've been restricting. So I'm saying that I'm abstinent again since probably early autumn 22. So that makes me like 2 years abstinent, something like that. I do have to say that for whatever reason, it's probably a lack of gratitude. I really don't get it. I should know better. In the beginning, I was more grateful, for my abstinence. I think I take it, almost for granted. Which is just it's insane, especially when I do remember where I'm coming from. And these days, what do I do? I go to meetings and I work the steps with a sponsor and I do sponsor myself. And I'm not perfect in any of these areas. I've been, going through a bit of a rough time for a while, and I thought that this is over now, and now new challenges keep coming. And it's rough. It's difficult to feel the feelings, even the, if it's not like, it's not even excruciating pain or anything like that. Sometimes it's the mild discomfort, but that is constant, that can be really difficult to persevere. Or if I don't feel like at home, that's been the thing lately. I moved and it's the process of adjusting here is very unexpected. Really unexpectedly hard. So yeah, I have to focus on staying present. Was in at a retreat in another fellowship that I'm also a member of over this weekend. And the topic was now. And it reminded me of where God is. May you find him now, as it says
Five
in
minutes
how it
remaining.
works. Thank you. I don't think that I'm going to use the whole time. God's always right here, right now. And if I, you know, there's so much disease in my thinking still. And when I go time traveling, either to the past or the future, there's no God there. I mean, obviously, God has also been in the past, and God is certainly in the future. But it's just thinking, you know, like I'm making up stuff. And I don't want to do that. If I stay present with God's grace, things are okay. They are definitely not the way I would like them to be right now, but they're definitely okay. And I have so many blessings in my life. And so, you know, you see my character defects very well and alive. It's just this lack of gratitude and entitlement, and not honoring things that I take for granted. So, lots of room to grow. Maybe that's the blessing. And thank you again for listening. Thank you for asking. And I hope you have all a wonderful and blessed rest of the day. Thank you.